This is February 4th, 2018, and it is Sunday evening, and the title of my message is, It is Finished. It is Finished, and it has a entirely new and different meaning to me, and based on the scriptures, and it's a funny thing. But when he said, it is finished, or one other place he says that, he says, I have finished the work that you gave me to do. And this is John 17:4, right after he said in verse 3, eternal life is to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. Well, it's a strange thing. And I was thinking about the verse that we have behind us, 1 Timothy, 2nd chapter, in verse 5. And it says that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And I thought, in all the years that I have gone to church, where was that verse? And why didn't I see it? Or the fact that it is the same in all translations should give people a clue, but it doesn't. It's like we will bypass that verse to prove our own doctrines. And so men are dishonest in their doctrinal areas. It's come. Men are dishonest. And so anyway, Jesus says, I have finished the work that you gave me to do. And then in John 19:30, and this is the one that I was thinking of when I put it down. He said, it is finished. And that is the last words of Christ. And then he bowed his head and gave up the ghost, it says. Or the spirit. I mean, it depends on which translation you use. And doesn't the Bible say that without the spirit, we're dead? It requires a spirit. So he gave up the spirit, which also told us that he was a man. Otherwise, the spirit would give up the spirit. But he was a man that died on the cross. And anyway, the other morning early, I began to see what Daniel 11:32 is actually saying. He says, the people who do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And my question is, or my thing to this is, how about only those who do know their God will be strong and do exploits? It's not, I mean, that's part of the scripture. I was told that in order to find God, or the John 17:3 thing, and to know God, I had to look for him only where he can be found. You know what? That's not a mystery. That makes all kinds of sense. But it didn't make sense to me until I heard the voice. And as simple as that whole thought pattern might be, it had never dawned on me that access to God might be limited to only one source. It never dawned on me. And then, as the Holy Spirit of God narrowed the way to God down to only one way, I began to see why the way to God was totally straight and narrow. See, only the Holy Spirit knows the things of God. Plus the mysterious Word of God, which the natural man is left in the dark over or by, is made up of spiritual thoughts and the spiritual ways of God, and which can only be revealed by the Holy Spirit. And so natural-minded men foolishly and ignorantly try to understand spiritual truth with natural minds that are unable to understand. There's no way with the natural mind you can understand these things. So when the Bible says in Hebrews 11, it says, through faith we understand. And faith comes by hearing, and that by the Word of God. So through faith we understand. Well, you know what? I realize that as we have listened to the Scriptures, I'm beginning to understand some things. I'm beginning to understand that Jesus is a man. I'm understanding why he's a man. I'm understanding that God made him as a man. And so, see, men not knowing their limitations come up with ideas and theories foreign to the spiritual nature of God's Word. That's not uncommon. Men come up with these things. And thus, the foundation for thousands of doctrinal ideas that separates God's church. The devil works with men's natural minds to fight against the revelations of truth being brought forth by the Holy Spirit. And since the majority of people are carnal, the majority will never ever come to a knowledge of any truth on their own. It's not possible. You don't come to a knowledge of the truth on your own. And yet, the devil lies to men and tells them that what they need is religious education. Community Chapel was geared in that direction, was no exception. However, God told us through Christ in Matthew 18:3 that unless we let God change that type of approach, unless we become converted and come to Him as innocent little children, we will never enter into God's kingdom. That's what we're told. Unless you let God change your approach to Him. And as such, in Matthew 6:33, it tells us that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and His type of righteousness, and which subtly opposes any love that we might have for this temporal world. See, the love for the world is enmity with God. And so, the church systems in 1 Timothy 6:20, right towards the end of 1 Timothy, we are told to avoid the world's opposition to the things of God through their, quote, science. I never understood what science meant. I mean, I've taken science courses in high school and college, but it says to avoid things that are, you know, science falsely so-called. And the word science means the state or the fact of knowing, gaining knowledge, or knowledge that comes about through observation. By seeing things, you realize that they exist. So you study to get science. And so while the faith that comes to us through the intake of the Word causes men to understand the deep things of the Creator, because men take in the spiritual thoughts of the One who created all things, the thoughts of natural and carnal men ridicule the ways of God. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Being born again, or from above, or of the Spirit, is not only a great mystery, to the wise and the prudent intellect trusters, but it is also offensive and foolish and stupid. See? And so being born again, that's stupidity. And they would think, how can people be so stupid as to fall for something like that? But meanwhile, the invisible Creator Spirit hides Himself from the doubters and the scoffers and gets ready to surprise them on the Day of Judgment. It's going to be a great surprise, the Bible tells us that. And as such, the mighty men of the earth will one day say to the mountains and the rocks in Revelation 6:16, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. As I overcame and am sat down in my Father's throne, you overcome and sat down with me in my throne. It's in Revelation, the third chapter. And so, in John chapter 3, is the only known section, I think, where a long prayer of Jesus has been recorded. The 17th chapter of John is the record of this long prayer that Jesus offered to the Father. And as such, at the end of his prayer, in verse 26, and in the next chapter, verse 18, we are told that he and his disciples went forth over the brook Cedron into a garden that where the one that deceived him, or that betrayed him, Judas, that Judas knew that they went. And he knew of, see. But anyway, in chapter 17, verse 4, Jesus said, "I have finished the work that you gave me to do." And as such, that statement, and lots more like it, is not the statement that would fit a co-equal, a co-eternal, that would fit somebody that is equal to his Father. And yet, men hang on to their doctrines and ignore the only words anywhere that explains the true relationship that exists between the Creator and his only begotten Son. It's a strange thing, but, and I have been there, I've been part of it, where we have studied the manuscripts and the creeds and the doctrines and the traditions more than we have studied the Word of God. And we've used the Bible to try to prove our doctrine. And when we couldn't prove it, then we used some kind of other explanations. Been there. I've done that. See, God spoke to the fathers through the prophets. However, in 1 Peter 1:10, he never really explained to them what they were prophesying about. And in fact, in verse 12, it says, even the angels never had a clue. What is this thing that God is doing? And then, is it any wonder that men who are lower than the angels in intelligence, and especially those who lack spiritual fervency, should come up with strange and diverse Godhead doctrines, and especially when principalities and powers are waiting their turn to deceive ignorant men? The reason why God supernaturally fertilized a human egg is a great mystery. And yet, nothing that God does, or that God ever did, was or is without a purpose. And all I can do is speculate, like a lot of other ignorant created beings, as to why he would do such a thing. And so Christ was a man, through Mary, and was of the seed of David. It says in 2 Timothy 2:8, you know, it says that David was a man after God's own heart. Well, it says that Christ was brought about through the seed of Abraham. This is or the seed of David, of Abraham, through Mary. Wait a minute here. No, he was the seed of David through Mary, but he was the seed of Abraham through Joseph, and Joseph was not even his real father. And so Jesus came in the flesh in 1 John 4:2. However, the Antichrist has been on a 2,000-year campaign to convince people that he actually was a God himself and therefore equal to God. For 2,000 years, this has been the function of the Antichrist. How vital is this? This is so important that those that believe such things are going to be left in the dark when God does what he's going to do. As such, the being of God's nature, you know, it's a strange thing, but how many promises do we have? I was just reading something here. If a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He that loves me not, keeps not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. So, I mean, scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. Why do we want to vacillate and get off into things that are not scripturally written, see? And see, as such, the being of God's nature and likeness is not really the problem. The problem comes when the will and the purposes of God The purpose of God is changed so as to fit man's doctrines and demonic theories. That's the problem. If we were to say that Christ is God or something, that's not really the problem. The problem is that is not what God made him to be. He made him to be a man. See, the devil gained a sort of a victory when he put the Trinity concept into the Dark Age church, or the Gentile portion of the church. The Gentiles are the one that got the Trinity. See, the old line Jews know full well that there is only one God, and that the Messiah was to be a man like unto Moses. They know that. And so when they thought Jesus was saying that he was a son of God, equal to God, or of God nature, God essence, or whatever, that's what they thought he was saying. And when he was trying to tell them that that he was a temple of God, that God was going to, you know, he's going to make temples out of men, they couldn't get it. Because they were already confined to the idea that the temple was a man-made structure. And they knew that the Messiah was to be a man like Moses, and the very thought of a divided Godhead must be repulsive to the old line Jews. People go over there and they baptize in the Jordan River in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that must, of course, the Jews are a strange group of people, and this is not every one of them, but for the most part. And however they can make money, they make it. And so if they can make money off our Christmas thing that they don't believe in or whatever, they make money off it. So, but anyway, with the way that they think, it must make it even that much harder for them to accept the new covenant. As such, I can see why only a few there be that find it. See, the legalistic nature of the old covenant made it a lot more appealing to the flesh, whereas men could judge other people easily by what they think they read or they read. And when the people misread the New Testament or New Covenant, they can also judge other people legalistically by what they think they read. And I know right now, I know people that do it. And people that I love. And when I finally began to see God's will for the new covenant, it made me realize why very, very few are even willing to accept it. Because not only now do we have a Bible that we read, or do we have laws that we, or creeds and things that we go by, but now the Word of God is going to be written in our minds and on our hearts. It says on the soft tables of the heart. And so anyway, that's quite a concept. No wonder people have problems with it. But that's what it says in Hebrews 8 and 10. This is the new covenant I'm going to make with Israel after those days, after the end of the, you know, after it is finished. This is what I'm going to make with them. I'm going to write my laws in their minds and on their hearts. Well, what is happening to us? What's happening right now, Bunny? If you look at it, it's being slowly etched or written into the tables of our hearts. And you know what? I want it to be. I want to get to the place where it's only God's Word in me. And if people don't like it, that's tough. See, it is one thing to have God's Word on tables of stone, or manuscripts or parchments, or even the Bible. However, the only begotten man, Son of God, was made or became that Word, and I want to say he was the first. As such, he was the firstborn of God's new covenant creation. And the Bible calls him that. He says, the firstborn of many brethren. And so in Hebrews 8:10 and 10:16, we see that, you know, that God wants to write his laws on our hearts. And God's divine nature was written or etched permanently on the fleshly tables within Christ. And so God's new covenant will was and is for his eternal word to be somehow put or written on the minds and the fleshly tables of men's hearts. You know, why didn't I ever see that? Or why didn't it ever register? Well, in 2 Peter 1:4, we are told that by these exceeding great and precious words, promises, and by a 24/7 constant intake of God's word, we can become partakers like Christ. You know, he said, "He that sees me sees the Father." Well, isn't that what we can say as well? If all we have is the word of God in us, can't we say, "He that sees me sees"? Because the only thing we're going to see about God is his word. We can become partakers of the very divine nature of God, or of Christ, or of both, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's what that verse says. The law and the prophets were until John. We see that in two of the different Gospels. But in Matthew 11:12, or 14:12, I'm not sure, it says, from the days of John until now, and the until now, I'm not sure, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violence would take it by force. And I'm not even sure what that means. It appears that John the Baptist introduced the kingdom of God. And in Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, and he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then in chapter 3, verse 17 of Matthew, Jesus also began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." See, John the Baptist introduced it. Until the days of John, in the days of John was the end of the Old Testament prophets. The law and the prophets were until John. And since that time, so what does John start out by saying? "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus began to preach the same thing. Well, I'm not really sure, but I'll tell you what I think. When Jesus said, "It is finished," I think that what he meant was that the kingdom of man is over with. Jesus told Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world, and if my kingdom was of this world, my servants would fight." And that was why the Jewish leaders had a major problem with him. They knew that the Messiah was to be seated on the throne of David forever. And so in their minds, that meant that Israel would again become a world power. Or like Trump has tried to make America great again. They were going to become great again. And that Israel, and in a way, they were right. However, the kingdom was to be the eternal kingdom of God. And that's what he's talking about. And so he's preaching an eternal kingdom. And so he says, they said, "Well, when is this kingdom going to appear?" And he said, "Well, first off, the kingdom of God is within you. So you're not going to, you know, come without observation." But see, the Jews wanted to observe it. They wanted to see it. "Well, tell us, when is this going to take place?" See, Jesus was telling all men in John 3, as he talked to Nicodemus, in order to be a part of the kingdom that is coming, you must be born again of the Spirit and from above. You know what? Not any one of those three makes any sense. It doesn't make sense. And of course, poor Nicodemus was like today's church, and he couldn't see past the kingdom of the natural Jews. He just couldn't see it. And as such, today's church systems are basically made up of natural, carnal men. Church after church after church is made up of carnal people who try to produce an earthly church kingdom, and they say, "You ready for this? I belong to the Assembly of God natural church system, kingdom." Isn't that what it is? It's Assembly of God, or it's It's a United Pentecostal Church, or it's a the Baptist organization, or it's a Southern Baptist, or it's, and it's like each one of those is hopelessly divided. Joanne and I used to sing a song, and divided by doctrine and strife. And I can't remember the song, and that's all, the only words I can remember of it. And I realized that we were divided over these things. But I never really saw the issue. I never saw how vital it was or how important it was. And God wants us to be united by truth. And so we come up with a unity through diversity. It's impossible. There will never, ever be unity through diversity. It's kind of like Pablo and Ken were talking, and I can see the right attitude in both of them. Yeah, we disagree. Of course we disagree. And what I've tried to do, being the pastor and being having this insight, is I have tried to leave the door open for people in this body to correct me. If I make a mistake, correct me. If I say something stupid, tell me. Let me get it straight. And I you know what? I don't want my pride to stand in my way of my soul. See? And so people say, I am convinced that we have all the truth. You know, each organization. I have been there. I heard a minister say one time, he said, it is such a good feeling to know that you have the truth. And he didn't. And so in Matthew 6:33, Jesus kept telling all men to seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, or God's type of righteousness. However, the deceiver, the devil, works on men who never seem to get the picture, and through deception, men promote earthly church kingdoms steeped in false doctrines. When I was over in Switzerland and talking to Walter Niederhauser, and he was telling me that he had started a church in the Philippines, and within 3 or 4 blocks of the city, I don't know what city he was in, there were 3 or 4 different churches that believed different things, and he says most of the time they spent telling, you know, and warning people to not go to the other churches because they were wrong. And so anyway, I have been a part of quite a few different types of church kingdoms in the past. But God in His great mercy is drawing me into His kingdom of truth and righteousness through His eternal and holy word. Recently, James 1:18 was opened up, which tells us that God has begotten us by His word of truth. See, by His will, of His will, God has begotten us through His word of truth. Begotten. It's like He begot Christ. Well, we are begotten in the same way. And see, it is important. So how important is truth? If He begat us, it says, through the word of truth, how important is truth? Is it important enough to seek after it? A verse like that really has a new meaning to those who are waking up to the value of truth. My hands sometimes I have all I can do to write. And so I write down things here, and I almost have to have an Egyptian hieroglyphic expert with me to tell what I wrote. And in 2 Corinthians 11:4, Paul was admonishing the Corinthians for the very thing we see around us today. See, there is only one gospel of the real kingdom, but he said if another one comes with another gospel in his own name, him you listen to. But the devil, who is the master deceiver, has introduced a multitude of gospel messages that millions are convinced are the truth. And so, the Trinity, horrible. It's horrible in the light of Scripture. And yet, most people believe in it. You know what I mean? But from the standpoint of Scripture, it's horrible. And as a result, I think many are being born into the wrong spirit. Is that a possibility? And when they are, they will fight for the false kingdom rather than promote God's kingdom of righteousness. When people fight for what they believe in, we got a problem. Because if you're a Christian, you don't fight. You preach and you let them do whatever they're going to do to you, but you don't fight. We don't have to fight for the things of God. His Spirit will take care of all things. Isn't that what it says? Seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and He'll take care of the rest. The Pharisees were of their father the devil. Were they not then born of the devil's spirit, if that's the case? Weren't they born into the devil's spirit? You know what? That's speculation on my part. Were they or weren't they? And which would set them up with a spirit of murder, like Cain. And so they murdered Christ. They crucified Him. Why? They didn't have a reason to it. There's a lot of the religious leaders that believed in Him. And what caused Jesus to tell us that the devil was a murderer from the beginning. In John 8:44, he was a murderer from the beginning because he entered into Cain and killed Abel. And so, if we're of God's Spirit, are we not born of or into that Spirit? And so, if men are of the devil's spirit, are they maybe being born into or of that spirit? And again, I've said it twice here, and that's all speculation. It appears to be that it could be, whether they are or not. 2 Peter 2:1-2, Peter warned all men of the abundance of false prophets and false teachers who will come with damnable heresies and even denying the Lord. Well, is that maybe by saying denying the Lord, is that maybe saying that denying that He's a man? That's what it says in 1 John 4. I mean, it appears to say that. Every spirit that confesses that He came in the flesh, meaning what? That He's a man. That spirit is from God. Every spirit that says He did not come in the flesh, and if He is eternal as a God, co-eternal, co-equal, co-existent, wouldn't that have to mean that at some point or that He would not be a man? Are you following me? And so, and the Bible says it will cause them to suffer destruction in verse 2. And many shall follow after their pernicious ways, meaning destructive ways. See, many will follow their destructive, pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth will be evil spoken of. Is you suppose that the gospel is not being received by the Jews because of some of the help of those that are taking false doctrines over there? See, the natural man is stumbled by God's words of truth anyway. But when obvious false prophets and obvious false teachers spread their foolishness, then those who are weak in God, especially weak, are thrown off course or fall for things that make sense to hungry but ignorant minds. To me, what we are now doing makes a lot of sense, since the whole tenor of the Scriptures supports it. What we're doing makes sense. However, the Matthew 18:3, becoming converted to a childlike approach to God's Word, is not what makes sense to the wise and the prudent. See, people don't, they look at it and they read over it because it doesn't make any sense. And who, of course, see, God hides the truth from these people anyway, the wise and the prudent, and reveals it to babes and sucklings. And so, they can be scoffers and they can be as unwilling as they want. They're not going to get it anyway. And so, while you and I are beginning, as 1 Peter 2:2 says, newborn babes, earnestly desiring the sincere milk of the Word. Earnestly. It doesn't say earnestly, but it says desiring the sincere milk of the Word. I don't see why we can't put the word earnestly in there. We are not in the majority of churchgoers, who most of them hear false prophets and false teachers on a regular basis and accept them. See, only a few there be that are going to find it. That's what the Bible says. Which means that most churchgoers are not going to find what God wants them to find. Because they are ever learning, you know, this is in 2 Timothy 3:7, ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And also, I mean, isn't that what is going on today? They go down to a Bible college, their oneness. They go to a Bible college, and when they get done, they're Trinity. And it's like, based on what? You can't prove it by the Scriptures. You go crazy trying to prove it from the Scriptures. And yet, this is what people believe. And also, in Jude, he tells us that is because most of them don't really have the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit would never promote the Trinity. He would never do that. He would never say that Jesus is equal to God in any way, or that Jesus is God. The Holy Spirit, when he was to come in John 16, he was to promote what we see up on the board, that there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. This is what he would promote. And as I look back at things over the years that I was taught, and now beginning to get a glimpse of truth as God's word reveals it, there was no way that the Holy Spirit was behind most of the things that I was taught. There was no way. He did not teach that. He did not teach us how to take care of the communion linens. If we got anything spilled on them, we had to go up and we had to take care of them in a certain way. See, that's man's ideas. And so I bought into a lot of things that were the enticing words of men's wisdom, whereas men use their own natural discernment to teach rather than use a Holy Spirit teacher that God has freely given to all of us. God gave the Holy Spirit to teach us. Well, here's where faith comes in. And as I have listened to the Scriptures, I have realized that the Holy Spirit was teaching me and leading me and guiding me. And when I hear what people are saying, like this morning, with Corky, and as I listened carefully to what he was saying, I realized, you know, it's only this by the Holy Spirit that he's getting the understanding he's getting. And so God never sent the Holy Spirit so as to promote private interpretations and false doctrine. He never sent the Spirit to do that. And so the farther men get from the truth of God's Word, the less that the Holy Spirit is going to be involved. Does that make sense or not? See, Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide men into all truth. That's in John 16:13. And then in John 17:17, Jesus said, God's word is the truth. And so if the Holy Spirit is going to guide men into all truth, won't he use God's word, since the word of God is a spirit or the sword of the Holy Spirit? John 17, or in Ephesians 6:17. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so in John 16:15, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will take of mine, and I want to say, mine what? He didn't have anything except what God gave him. But he will take of mine, or what I said, it has to be, what God said through him, and show it to you. Since he only spoke what the Father told him to say. It has to be what he said. He will take a mind and show it to you. Mind what? And when Jesus says to continue in his word, he didn't have a word. He only spoke what the Father told him to speak. So are we not talking about the Father's word? And so when he says, I and the Father are one, they're of one heart, one mind, one thought, one word. You know what I'm saying? No. He must be saying that he is God himself. Well, he didn't say it in the rest of the scriptures. See? The Holy Spirit was saying that what the Father wanted said by the same verse. He was also saying that, you know, what God said. Jesus gave us a profound piece of information in John 15:7. And one day last week, I saw the mistake that men make. See, it does not say here, if you go to some church and the doctrines of that church are what you are you led to believe, then ask what you will. See, that's not what the Bible says. It says, if you are in Christ and His Word is in us, see, if we are in Him and His Word is in us, we can ask what we will. You know what? I quote that scripture a lot in prayer because I'm being changed. I've had all of these dreams and all of these strange things that have happened to me in the middle of the night. Nothing recently. And I have seen people being healed, just coming up out of wheelchairs and mighty things happening in this church. And yet, I don't see it. And it's like, but you know what? I don't know that we had the foundation. And so here I am, John 15:7. If you abide in me, and my word abides in you, what's happening? That's happening. I want to be in Christ. I want His word in me, until the only thing in me is His word. Now the Bible says, bring in every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And you know what's been happening lately? I have found myself with a weird thought come into my mind, and I've immediately turned it over to the Lord. Immediately. I've never done that before. And so, you can't use the doctrines of a church as a support for your having God do whatever you ask. And see, man may be led by the wrong spirit to believe something is the truth. However, God is never mocked. No matter what you believe, if it's not the scriptures, it is not truth. And so he will only respond to the truth of what he said. See, he confirmed the word with signs following. This is in Mark, the last statement in the book of Mark. And he confirmed the word. Whose word? The private interpretations of the church? That's not what they were preaching. They were preaching God's truth. And the Bible says, "In God, and the word of God grew and multiplied." But it's unchangeable. So it wasn't that it became something more. It was that people were using it, and it was becoming useful to them. Now, is the rapture really true? Is that really true? I believe that it is. However, millions of lukewarm pew warmers are looking and claiming something that their doctrines promise, and yet they are not meeting the scriptural conditions, and only made man-made promises and man-made doctrines. And so they're going to, if it were to come, they're going to miss it. Because it's not going to be according to the doctrines of men. Now, do you follow me? It'll be the doctrine of God only. More and more, on a daily basis, I want the real thing. I've had enough deception. And people listen to the shorter message and they say, he's finally waking up. No. No. Sometimes I'm shorter-winded than others. Anyway.